Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have the band OAR. You probably know them. You probably have played beer pong to their tunes. An interesting interview that was a little different than what we normally do. We asked them all the dumb questions you'd love to ask a touring band. Really cool guys. It's any guys who are like, yeah, we've been in a band for 20 years. There's nothing cooler than that. So we have that interview. We have the NFL schedule release. We have our personal fire fest of the week. We have FAQs and maybe some Game of Thrones theories thrown in there. Before we get to all of that, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Today is Friday, April 19th, and the NFL schedule has been released.
Woo!
Football is back.
It is very back. I was saying earlier today, they need to make that show even longer. I need it to be like 4, 5, 6, a pay-per-view.
It is the dumbest thing in the world to go through the schedule and pick wins and losses, knowing that the NFL, first of all, we haven't done the draft. Second of all, there's going to be injuries. And third, the most important, the NFL is a week-to-week league. No one fucking knows who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. So to do that experiment, that exercise, is so stupid. And with that said, I fucking love it, and I love doing the schedule, picking wins and losses over and over and over for every fucking team.
Yeah, I have 5 big Pardon My Takeaways from the schedule release. You want to hear them?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I got a few too. So
first of all, the Bucs got fucked. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are away from home for like 2 months in a row.
Yep.
They're taking like a semester off. They're going 2 away games, bye week, London, 2 more away games. That's a lot of probation officers that Jameis Winston has to notify.
So let me add to that 18,000 miles that they have to travel between weeks 4 and week 9. I also did a little studying of the schedule, and the Tampa Bay Bucs have to play 4 big cats this season. That's the most in the NFL. They have to play the Panthers twice. I think they play the Jaguars and the Lions.
How many birds do they have to play? That's the
I don't know about the birds. I got some bird stats for you, but you go on with your second one. I'll sprinkle in some bird stats.
Okay, my second stat that I'm going to take away from this is the NFL was like, "Oh, you like the Browns? Well, how about you smoke an entire carton of Browns, because we're going to give you all the fucking Browns you can handle this year." And it's going to suck if they have back-to-back primetime games where it's the Patriots and the Rams. And if they lose both those two games, that can actually be like a killer of your season right there. And those are two hard games to win, to get started with. But the fact that they're in primetime means that losses in those situations will mean a lot more and will be more deflating to the Browns. So be careful what you wished for, Cleveland fans, because they gave you your primetime games, but it turns out that they're all against really good teams.
Yep, that is very true. The NFL always goes like a little overzealous for one of these teams. I feel like last year we had the Vikings on a bunch of primetime games after they went to the NFC Championship game, signed Kirk Cousins. The Browns also, shout out Lewis Riddick for picking 16-0. That was, it's a bold pick, but for him to pick 16-0 on ESPN in front of the nation, my hat's off to you, man. You are a bold man.
Yeah. No, you can't steal second with your foot on first. I think that was in, like, Rookie of the Year, one of those movies. But it remains true to this day. My third is, this is the year that the Patriots dynasty is officially over. Ooh. This is the end. This is the end. It's got to be the end. This is the end. I can smell
okay.
it.
Okay.
So, did you see their schedule?
It's pretty easy, I
no,
believe.
They have like to play, a 13-3-er.
They have to play Josh Allen twice. The NFL fucked them.
That's true.
Maybe four times if the Jets take Kentucky Josh Allen.
That's true. Speaking of the AFC East, the Dolphins have to play their first four games against playoff teams. I'm going to do a prelated RIP to Fitzmagic. I don't even know if Fitzmagic's going to get off the ground this year.
Fitzmagic is good. That's the magic of Fitzmagic. You're already That's counting true. Him out. This is you're doing the thing that everybody else does every year. I expected more out of you, Big Cat. I expected you to know that the second you count Fitzmagic out is the second he surprises you.
It's called a neg. It's called a neg. I'm just getting the most Fitzmagic out of him. There's no way that they win a game. They're going to go 0-4. Damn, Fitzmagic's dead. Mm-hmm.
Your beard's not even that good, Ryan.
Yeah. You got your beer gut because you've been drinking too much, or you've been eating too much birthday cake. Which was, by the way, just as a side, Ryan Fitzpatrick is in a total fuck it, I don't care mode. He's on his like billionth team. He knows that he'll go out there, throw one game 450 yards, and the next game five interceptions. And nothing tells you that more than him coming to OTAs and being like, yeah, I'm pretty fat. I've been eating birthday cake.
Uh-huh. And his beard, let me just say, the beard is going to look very luscious in that Miami humidity. I haven't even really sat down and thought about that, but I'm going to start doing that periodically until games start. It's just like thinking about how bushy that thing's going to be.
Yes. All right, number four.
Well, real quick, I want to add to your point about birthday cake. It's a miracle that him and Philip Rivers aren't fat as shit with all the birthday celebrations they have to have, all the Chuck E. Cheese pizza dinners they have to go to for their kids.
It's true. That's a good point.
Number four is Titans-Jags color rush. Third Thursday, right as the leaves are starting to change in nature, we're going to get to see those mustard uniforms, hopefully. The Titans, like, I don't even know how to describe the, it's like spleen blue on the Titans mm-hmm. jersey. So spleen blue against, like, baby shit mustard. That's always a real treat to watch.
Yes, I'm very excited for that game. If they don't give us color rush, we riot.
Absolutely. Number five is teams got too cute with their schedule releases online.
Ooh, embrace the bait. I actually thought a few of them were unbelievable. The Panthers by far won it. They just dipped right into that like 25 to 40-year-old nostalgia with all the video games. I liked
Sucker.
The Game of Thrones one. Someone had to do it. And I also really, really liked the Cardinals one where they just pretended Josh Rosen wasn't on the team even though they drafted him 10th overall last year.
The only one I kind of liked was I think it was the Chargers that just used like stock video images. Of
yes.
all their, but overall, the teams got too cute with it. Like, whatever happened to just writing your schedule on a brick and throwing it through Peter King's window?
Yes. Yeah, I listen, I think this was the year where it's going to be good next year when they see the reaction that people had to the Panthers and the Falcons and the Chargers. Next year is going to suck. They're going to go way overboard. It's going to be terrible. But this was the last year where we can enjoy it because it kind of snuck up on people. Like, the Panthers did something that was unique, cool, and fun, and if there's ever a lesson to be had, it's when you do something unique, cool, and fun on the internet, it will get ruined within a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's totally fair. I think that there were a couple decent ones, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be driven into the ground next year for sure.
My sixth and final one I'll add on is the Bears have six primetime games, and that scares the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
That's a lot of time. Uh-huh. A lot of time in front of the nation for people to make jokes, and it's like they'll always be in the back of my head, even though the Bears are good. Six primetime games, one of them is a Thanksgiving game, is way too many.
Yeah, and one of them is, what, is it the second Monday Night Football game is against the Redskins?
Third, week three.
Okay, so we're going to have to do a mayor's bet for that one, but take some consolation in the fact that the R words are something like 1 in 119 in primetime games since 2000. So we have a worse record than the French Army. You guys are good.
Yes. Yes. All right. So moving on from the NFL schedule release, we got a couple things we got to do before the Fyre Fest. The first is the Washington Capitals losing 2-1 against the Hurricanes. The series is now 2-2. Has the panic button been taken out? And are you hovering your hand over it?
No. No, I'm not worried because the series doesn't start until a visiting team wins a game. And so far, it's just been two at home, two at home. So we got a three-game series. And people laughed at me when I made my first prediction. I said, Caps in two. They said, yo, PFT, you're a maniac. That's not possible. It's a seven-game series. Guess what? It's a three-game series now. So it is mm-hmm. possible for the Caps to win in two games. I'm not going to say the W word, but I'm concerned about TJ Oshie because he's going to be out for the rest of the series, if not the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs because of that dirty play. He got driven into the boards, broke his collarbone, separated his shoulder, something like that, something stupid like that. And so hopefully that guy, I'm not even going to say his name. I'm not going to dignify the transgressor, mostly because I don't know it, but I'm still not going to say it. But it was a dirty play. It was a bad hit. He should be out. I have a Mike Greenberg's dumb rule about that because they only gave the dude a 2-minute penalty. It should have been five. But in the case of an egregious penalty like that, the team that got the penalty committed against them should be allowed to put their enforcer in the penalty box, almost like a reverse 7 minutes in heaven type thing. So like you put Tom Wilson in the penalty box with the dude and just let him go to town on him for 2 minutes. So if you can survive 2 minutes of getting jumped in by Tom Wilson, then yeah, you served your time for the penalty.
Okay, so I'm happy you brought that up because my question, and Hank and I are in Welch, West Virginia. We barely have Wi-Fi. We have no cell phone reception, so I didn't see the game. But my question is, where was Tom Wilson, the dreaded enforcer for the Washington Capitals? Your rule sounds like a great rule, but it also sounds like a little too little too late because Tom Wilson wasn't doing his job as the enforcer if people are taking cheap shots at TJ Oshie. Does Tom Wilson have to go take a cheap shot at the whole entire NHL like he has been doing for the last 5 years? Or has
he
gotten
take
soft
cheap shots. He's
and, no,
clumsy.
And everyone
no.
knows, I think everyone knows the Capitals can be had now.
That's not true. So what do you want, Tom Wilson to like just float inside the blood of everybody else he's beaten up in the past like a precog and know when someone's going to take a shot at one of their star players and beat them up ahead of time? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's actually fair. That's actually
fair. You described it perfectly.
Listen, I can admit when I've been bested in a debate, and I think that you made a really good point there that I can't refute.
The aura of Tom Wilson should be hovering over everyone, and when they go and try to take a cheap shot at TJ Oshie, like Tom Wilson, little like cartoon bubble should pop up in their head, and he should just be sitting there, Dikembe Mutombo, fingering and like, don't do that. But guess what? Tom Wilson has been neutered. He's been eunuched. He's like Varys, little Game of Thrones shout out there, of the NHL. He doesn't take cheap shots anymore. The Capitals are, dare I say it, soft.
Do we have to wonder? No. Do we have to wonder whether or not he's just been out enforced on his own team by Alexander Ovechkin?
Oh, okay.
Is Ovi now the enforcer?
Well, he's the enforcer of teenage kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's. I mean, you're afraid of Cali teens. You would love to hang out with Alexander Ovechkin just to beat the shit out of anybody wearing Stussy.
Anyone with a one in front of their number or their age.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not worried. I really am not worried. This is sincere because it's a three-game series. Like I said, we got two at the Old Barn, the Capital One Center, you know, the nice nostalgic place there next to Chinatown. And we also have a Gipper to win one for. So now we've got a cause to rally around, which is TJ Oshie. So we're going to be playing with a little – we're going to be skating with a little emotion. That's what's going to happen. And,
okay.
And listen, it's the Carolina Hurricanes. The moment is too big for them. This is an experience. The Washington Capitals are storied – winning hockey franchise. Okay, all we do is win Stanley Cups. I think that we're going to be able to handle a three-game series against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay, all right, so you're not worried. The other thing we have to talk about the NBA playoffs round one. It feels like everything is just coming to form. We obviously had the Roaches of LA Clippers, and that's Doc Rivers' term, not my term.
LA's team.
The LA's team had that thrilling win on whatever night it was, Monday night. But other than that, it feels like everything has kind of fallen into place. Our magic fell to the Raptors. The Sixers kind of found their footing. They're up 2-1. The Celtics are up 2-0. So it feels like everything just going as planned. The only thing I want to throw out there, Mike Greenberg's dumb rules. I think there should be a rule in all of sports, so not even basketball, but in a playoff series, if a team wins by a certain amount, and we can figure whatever that amount is, maybe in hockey it's 6 goals in a game, maybe in baseball they 10-run rule them, in basketball if they beat them by 35-plus, the series is automatically over right there.
We just fast forward and we save everybody the time. Yeah.
Yeah. If you get beat by 35 points, it's just the kill switch. It's the, and it would make blowouts exciting because teams would be having to try really hard in game one because they're like, we don't want this series to end. And I feel like that would be great for the NBA playoffs because you have games like the Bucks are killing the Pistons. I feel like the Rockets, even though they didn't win by 30, that game, James Harden was on fire. They dominated the Jazz. And it's like a lot of these games – we just need to just move on. We need to just get to the good stuff, maybe go 9-game series in the next round of the good teams.
I like that. Conversely, I would say that if, let's say, 5 out of the first 6 games all end within 3 points, then it becomes a 9-game series.
Yep. I like that, too.
So Adam Silver's supposed to be like this progressive, forward-thinking commissioner, and if he wants to really – if he wants this league – to take over like he wants it to, like I think he wants it to, he should actually look into giving fans more of the games that they want and less of the games they don't like. Customer is always right, Adam.
I like that. The having it in baseball would be exciting because you basically would get like in, you know, one game, you'd have to bring in your game 2 starter to try to stop a rally because you're like, we don't want this series to end. Another just little add-on rule. If the takeaway from a game was someone farting on the bench and everyone covering up their nose like it was for the Sixers tonight, you also get eliminated because basically that means you're losing so bad that the camera's just going to show that, and that will be the story of the series, that they're too concerned. They're more concerned with farts and who smelt it, dealt it, than the actual game at hand.
You know that Joey Crawford saw that and he was like, fuck, why didn't I ever think about farting on the Spurs?
Yes,
that would have been an ultimate Crawford move right there.
I could have given Tim Duncan pink eye.
Yeah, that would be something. Adam Silver, I think I wouldn't put it past him to have an option of just like putting it out on a Twitter poll, like hey Tweeples, which series would you like to see me extend? Because he is so fucking in love with Twitter. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver would fuck the Twitter bird.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not the logo anymore.
Oh, it isn't?
Jack changed it.
Yeah, because Adam Silver kidnapped it and he's fucking in his basement right now.
Well, I was going to say Jack probably changed it because he was like losing his mind because he only eats dinner and doesn't eat on the weekends. What is it now?
Speaking of Firefest, I think it just changed it to like a blue box.
Okay, so let's go to our Firefest of the week. So wait, it just changes to a blue box?
Yeah, let me confirm that.
Not on my phone.
How is that possible? All right.
They might have tested it and they didn't.
Oh, that's another thing they would definitely do. Just test it out and then be like, everyone riots. And they're like, haha, just kidding, guys. It was just a joke. We tested it out with only 7 million people, and we found out that no one liked it. Literally no one liked it. So we won't roll it out.
I love how committed Jack is to ruining Twitter.
Yeah.
Every decision that he's ever made has actually made it worse. It's been pretty fun to watch.
I'm looking at it right now. It's literally a blue box. It's just a blue box.
And instead of Twitter, it says TWTTR.
Maybe he just wants people to get really horny and have them think of Viagra.
Let's get rid of all the vowels. That's his big idea. He spent 7 days tripping on ayahuasca and subsisting on just like nectar and water. And his big takeaway from that in Myanmar, wherever the fuck he was let's get rid of all the vowels and the bird.
Yes. All right. Let's do our personal Firefest of the week. PFT, why don't you start?
Okay, I actually have a couple personal Firefest here. My first
festival
one.
Season.
What's that? What's
you're
that?
You're like you're Coachella. You're just doing 3 weekends.
It's no, festival season for you. You're bouncing around.
Yeah,
my Firefest has actually turned into your Firefest because I have too many of them.
Correct.
That didn't take long. Okay, my first one is that weed is too good.
Mm.
My first personal Firefest is weed, just pot. Yeah. So, as I mentioned on Wednesday's show, I'm going to be doing a live stream on Sacramento on Saturday with the Hard Factor Boys from the Cannabis Cup. I think it's like 3 to 4 Pacific, 7. No, wait, it's 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Do the math if you're not in that time zone. I'm still coming down from Hong Kong. But my Firefest, that weed is too good. I don't like smoking really good weed. I think really good weed has gotten so good that it sucks.
You're a swag guy. You like the you like the ground up shit.
No.
You like the seeds.
I don't like the seeds.
You
like, I don't
the
like
oregano.
The no,
yeah,
I don't like the
I
shake.
Got you.
No. I like nice kind bud, like a decent KB is what I'm about, and I don't to smoke too much of it. But if you give me something that you've like cultivated, you're like, check out the red hairs running through the red fibers give birth to the orange crystals that you can see, and it's actually like it's a segment of an Afghanistan strand. I'm like, no, I don't want to smoke that because I'm going to feel like I'm on the moon, and I don't want to be on the moon. I want to be like in the clouds. Is that too much to ask just for just normal, decent, average weed?
You want to smoke a joint of mids and then get a headache and then have to fall asleep so the headache goes away.
Yeah, next time I get some. Yes, next time I get some Kush, some White Rhino, some dank shit, I'm gonna make sure that you don't get any of.
Yeah, I'm a pass on that. I'm a preemptively pass.
You're
narc. No, I don't like getting the headache, Hank. You're inferring all these weird things. I just like average weed. I think that there's a lot of us out there in the silent. And the silent majority that have kind of like gone along with the flow of like the cultivation process of weed and like the modernization of marijuana and cannabis throughout the like last 20 years. And I think that we're sick of it. I think we're just like, hey, I just want to get like a little bit baked and watch a movie and not forget what happened 3 minutes ago in the movie that I'm watching.
That maybe you're just smoking wrong. That sounds what I mean. Maybe it's just all the CBD you're smoking.
You're supposed to swallow, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's your next one?
My next Fyre Fest of the week is Cardi B not responding to my tweets.
Because it wasn't me that was tweeting her.
What do you mean?
I mean, she's my girl, so if I had tweeted her, she probably would have responded.
I doubt that highly. I gave her a really nice compliment yesterday. I said that I wanted her to kill me in a really funny way. She didn't respond to it, and I've been torn up about it all day, basically. So it's a Fyre Fest.
This is kind of a... I can relate to you on this Fyre Fest because we made this choice kind of at the same time to stay unverified. And while it's cool to be the bad boys of Twitter, sometimes when you want to like tweet at someone and you know that they check their verified mentions, it kind of hurts.
That's what I'm saying. Cardi B would definitely respond to me if I wanted to. I don't want to, but if I wanted to.
I mean,
to.
I literally gave away my blue check mark. I said, take it back, Twitter, and they did.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what? I'll hit her up for you, okay?
You don't need to do that.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, bro. I got you. I'll be a wingman for you. All right, is that it, or you got another one?
I had a couple more, but you guys can just go ahead.
All right, Hank, you go.
Well, my personal Fyre Festival, I got a few as well.
Oh.
The first one last week that I couldn't say was the Game of Thrones thing. We went over that.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, so this is now the worst segment we've ever done. I'll pick up here.
Maybe switch to mids, bro.
Yeah, I'll pick up here and I'll go with Jason La Canfora or whatever the fuck his name is, saying that Jeff Fisher was going to be the Houston XFL coach, and then Jeff Fisher going on Twitter using an emoji, very cool by Jeff, and saying there's absolutely no truth to it. So I had about 3 hours today where I thought Jeff Fisher got a job. As everyone knows, I have been vigilantly going after Jeff Fisher's next coaching job, trying to get him a job anywhere. So I thought it was mission accomplished. I was big George W. Bush with the big mission accomplished. I had my thumb up, and I was like, we did it, guys. We got him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that turns out to be not true. So that was my Fyre Fest.
Yeah, I think this was a big stab in the back to the city of Houston for making a move to Nashville a long time ago. I think Jeff Fisher he knows how to play the game. He's a very politically savvy dude. He's basically like, what's his name? The dude in not Game of Thrones, House of Cards.
Yeah.
The guy that got canceled, Kevin Spacey.
Yep.
Jeff Fisher is the Francis Underwood of football. And he's
Kevin
been waiting.
Spacey.
He's
Who's
been
that?
Waiting silently.
Yeah. Just the guy that got canceled. We don't even know. Was he ever in a movie?
He's been waiting for the last 3 years to fucking stick it to somebody. And Houston was the unlucky recipient of Jeff Fisher's wrath.
Yes. All right. My last Fyre Fest is quick. I've been on the road a lot. Do you know what's the worst? Is having to take a shit in a toilet and you don't know the flush levels. Having to take that chance where you're like, this. Is it a low flush? Is it a high flush? Is it a, two wipe flush toilet? What you never know. You know, like, the rhythm of your own personal toilet. You know exactly what you can do, what you can't do. It's like a very deep relationship that you have with your toilet. To go somewhere else and try to figure it out, it's fucking terrible. It's mm-hmm. it's like basically if you were married for 50 years and then you got to go on a first date, a blind date. And you're like, what? How do? What do I do here?
Yeah, I always play the game where, like, I'll flush way too early on a new toilet. Just to make sure I can get the first part out, the second part out. Like, I'll flush three times on a toilet if I'm not playing a home game. And it's it's just for that reason that you mentioned. Like, in a hotel room, water conservation doesn't matter. I'm hitting if I have the option to do the number one or number two flush after I pee, I'm doing the number two flush. I'm flushing everything down. I'm leaving the shower on for, like, hours at a time. I'm forgetting that I turned the water on hot and forget and stepped out of the bathroom for a while. I'm playing all sorts of games with their water bill.
There, it's actually just a backwards way, and I think Hank was about to say it, but when we were in Minneapolis, I had to ask the front desk for a plunger three separate times.
Did they just say keep it this time?
They should have. I tipped the one time it was the room service was coming to make up the room, and I just handed her $20, and I was like, I didn't even explain it. I was just like, oh, my room's ready to be made up, and I was like, here, can I tip you? And I was like halfway through my stay. I wasn't even leaving, and then she went and found it and was like, all right, now you know what the $20 were for.
Not worth it. Yeah, asking the front desk for a plunger, that's got to be a pretty power move. Oh, like, do you feel good about yourself when you did it?
No, it's like a dog with his tail between his legs. You're just like, hey, you like kind of look around, make sure no one's seeing you. Like, plunger to room 220, please. And then you just walk away.
And did you have to walk back downstairs with that plunger and hand it back to the people?
No, they send it up. They have someone go do it.
Like a guy, he brings it up on like a room service cart with a platter over it.
The Saran wraps over it, he takes it off. He's like, here's your plunger, sir. What'd you have, Hank?
I was going to say, I remember my personal fire fest was having to go to the bathroom after you before we recorded this podcast.
Well, that's your own fault. I told you that I was going in there.
Poop shaming.
So, yeah. We're on the road. Life on the road. All right. Yeah, should we do our interview?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we have OAR, band that's been around forever. You probably heard of them. We asked them all the dumb questions that you've always wanted to ask a band who's had the highest of highs. I don't even think they've had a low. They've sold out Madison Square Garden everywhere, played everywhere. It was pretty cool to talk to someone, two guys like that. Very different interview than our normal interviews, but a good one that I think you'll enjoy. Before we get to that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, here they are, the guys from OAR. Okay, we now welcome on very special guests. They are a little different than our usual guests. It is two members of the band OAR. I'm going to start with play a little game. Why don't you guys pronounce your last names for us?
I love that. That's so smart. I'm Mark Roberge.
Roberge. So I was thinking, I didn't know how to say that, G. Are you just Jerry DePizzo?
You nailed it.
Fuck yes.
Nice job.
The Italian Youngstown guy who's like, yeah, I box. No shit, dude.
Yeah.
Do you also coach football?
No football coach.
Yeah. So two guys from OAR, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Like I said, a little different than our usual interviews, but we wanted to talk to you guys. You guys have been part of a band doing music for what, 20 plus years now? It's insane.
20 plus, man. We started at the 8th grade talent show.
That's crazy.
And that was it.
Did you guys win?
They it was early, no winners. It was fucking
No, you need, okay, yeah. So you won. Awful. A little tip, you got to say you lost. Little Michael Jordan didn't make his varsity team.
All right,
kind
so
of
yeah,
story.
We lost to this this other band that never made it.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
So, so you've had that chip on your shoulder. That's actually true. You didn't win, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'm not lying, so but guys, no, I like that we lost to another band and didn't make it.
Right.
Do you remember what song you played?
Yeah, we played "Porch" by Pearl Jam.
Oh, hell
nice.
Yeah!
Yeah, and a rock version of "Wonderful Tonight" by Eric Clapton.
There you go. Like it, sped up a little bit.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
very
right.
Sexual for eighth graders.
Yeah. Yeah, and I forgot the words in the middle of it and started talking about how she's so drunk and I got to drive and all that. I'd never been drunk or driven.
That's perfect. I lost my eighth grade talent show too. We played "Smells Like Teen Spirit." My singer forgot the words.
Yeah.
Never forgotten it.
Yeah, I was wearing plaid shorts, combat boots. I was like, I was all in, man. I wanted to be Ed Vedder. That's what I wanted to be.
Yeah. You know? So 20 plus years, and you guys are still doing it, and you're still together, which is insane because I feel like that never happens in music and rock and roll and bands. How the hell do you guys do it? Like, how do you stay together? How have you guys not killed each other at this point?
Not killing each other. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Honestly, it's. We just try to talk stuff out. We don't keep it inside. We just talk to each other about things and work it out. And, you know, it's a fairly simple thing to do, but, you know, it works.
Who do you hate the most? clear. Like, I'm not, like, I'm kind of joking, but, like, there's a pecking order.
Yeah.
Right? Let's break it down. Let's get weird.
He hates
it.
Me the most.
At times.
Yeah. Yeah. And that keeps it moving
and
forward.
Vice versa.
Right. So you use that heat and move it forward.
Oh, so you guys are the tension guys.
No. I think, look, what it is sometimes we all remind each other like, hey, you remember all we do is make songs, right?
Right.
And then no matter what you're bitching about, crying about, whatever, like, you're like, oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah,
so
right.
When we do this shit together, we just make songs and that's what we do and drive around in buses and planes and shit. Right. That takes away any bullshit really quickly.
Yeah.
So if someone's giving you the business, you know, you can eventually get to the point where you're like, aren't you happy to be here?
Right. Yeah, we're in a band. We could be working like jobs that we hate. At the end of the day, you guys have had a pretty successful career for a long time.
Yeah, so that kills it.
In an awesome, awesome profession. Also, you guys don't live in the same city as each other. That's like, you know, a marriage having separate beds. I guess it could be good, right?
It's like a marriage having separate apartments.
Yeah. There you go.
Right? And it works out famously. Like, we each have our own thing. Each got studios. Each got all that stuff going on. So when you want to work, you can work. When you want to, you're in town, you want to stop by and have dinner, you stop by and have dinner. I mean, everyone's gotten to the point now where it's just like a mutual respect thing.
Mm-hmm.
At all times. And then the second, if that ever slips, that's when you give them the old, hey, aren't you happy that we're doing this
right.
thing? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a simple formula at this point. I mean, we made complications out of it maybe a decade ago and realized that it's just not worth it, man.
Was there ever a moment along these years from 1996 till today, 2019, where it was like, this might like be the end of it?
I think you come across that, you know, there's a lot of times like that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because it's hard. This stuff is tough, you know, and we grind through it. And I think we just keep moving forward and keep grinding, and we work it out.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah.
What's the songwriting process like for you guys, being in different cities? Are you guys the two primary songwriters in the band?
We've had moments where every single person in the band is offered something. Like, Benj on bass could play one little lick, like this song we have, Lay Down, and then a song is born with just one little thing. So everyone has that potential to bring it to the table. Right now, it's working out where one of us or one of the boys will start an idea, and then everyone takes it on their own. And eventually, you're coming back with, like, your best shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's that self-filter. That before, years ago, you're in the studio, you're like, what about this idea? What about this? And every stupid idea you have, you put out to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all know, when you got something good, bring it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get rejected because it's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you guys ever struggle with, I guess after 20 years, you guys write some really, really catchy songs. Do you struggle with like coming up with an idea and saying, hey, this chord progression might be too simple, or like we've used this one before, and you like try to change it around a little bit, maybe it might not work, and you're like,
right.
Do we go back to the simple way, or do we change it up with something like a little more exotic?
Yeah, you know, exotic, great.
All I'm saying is that. Like 20 years worth of songwriting, at some point you got to be like, you know, I can go back to the well real easy. I know what chord progression sounds good and what melody sounds good.
Right. We never do that. I never kind of go backwards. I barely listen to stuff. The second it comes out, I'm kind of like, all right, and what's next? And that's not because I don't love it. It's just because I'm driven by walking out in the streets and something hits me. I know you can relate to that, where you're just walking down the street and it a song comes and I just hear it in my head and I can immediately put it down. I don't sit there and go, I got to write a hit song today. Mm-hmm. I've never sat and said, I want to write a hit and had a hit. Mm-hmm. It's always been seeing some dude drive away from his house real fast, going home and writing down, how many times can I break till I shatter? Because it just comes. Uh-huh. It's the weirdest thing. I honestly don't know where it comes from. And I've learned how to harness those ideas, throw them to him, and he'll come back with like a horn section that he just fucking came up with out of nowhere. So it's that mutual respect thing. It's like knowing if something is good or not, as you guys definitely know when something's good or it's fucking, this is mm-hmm. not going right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
So to dumb it down, who's John and who's Paul?
Oh, wow.
It's a good question. I don't know if there is a John and a Paul. Yeah. I mean, you're
actually just tell us who Ringo is. So
he's getting yeah, Ringo. Yeah, Ringo. Right. That's funny.
Yeah, the one the weird song that you let in on every album. Are you Ringo? Shit,
I probably am Ringo.
Yeah, if you don't know, then you're the Ringo, yeah. right?
Fuck. I'm like looking around. Like, oh damn it,
that's me.
Has there ever been a song where you're like, this is a fucking hit, and then it just hasn't turned into a hit?
Yes. We had this song called Peace that came out a couple years ago. And I'm watching it climb the charts on radio, it's on TV, it's doing all these things, theme song and everything, and then you get a phone call from the label, and they're like, yeah, it's done. And it's like number 15 on the chart, and they're like, well, it went backwards 2 weeks in a row, and you'll see in a couple weeks it'll be gone. And you're thinking like, fuck, this is pretty going pretty well. Sure shit, man. It's just how it goes. Like, in this, there's no apology. No one gives a shit
right.
about you or your feelings. When your songs are on the charts, like when they're dead, they're dead. Mm-hmm. And you just got to swallow your pride and move on. If you're going to dwell on it, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
You know?
One thing I love to talk about successful people and people who've been doing, you know, in their profession for a long time is their made it moment. And I think a lot of times, like people ask us that a lot of times and we're like, actually, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of small ones. So do you guys have a few made it moments where you're like, oh shit, this is it? Only to then have it be, you know, 5 years later, like, oh, wait, no, this is it.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Honestly, I'm really still waiting question. For that moment.
Okay, yeah. That's a good answer.
Honestly.
Yeah. It might be right now.
But yeah. You got,
yeah. Yeah, true.
It's right here, right yeah. now. But like you guys, it's a lot of little moments and things along the way. OAR is just steadily built, climb, grind, got it done. And, you know, there's been some great highlights, like the first time we played The Garden.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that made that great, one, it sold it out. It's fantastic. We didn't really think we were on that trajectory quite yet, but all of our friends, all of our family,
right,
everybody who helped us along the way get to that point came to the show.
How many times you played The Garden?
Three.
That was very smart by you to say the first time we played The Garden.
Yeah,
because I was like,
that was
these
hot,
guys
that
have
was
fucking
hot.
Played
was
The
like,
Garden
yeah,
a million
yeah,
times.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
happened
yeah.
At what point did they start like putting your jersey up in the rafters like Billy Joel?
So I got a funny ass story about that. I go to The Garden all the time. I'm a big Rangers fan. I love to hang out in that building. I
so
love
you abandoned the Capitals.
The Mecca.
I've abandoned the Capitals, but I was a season ticket holder for the Capitals, uh-huh. So I'm a real fan, and yeah, I think I abandoned them a little bit, probably, yeah. But I love the Rangers, so
yeah,
this
yeah.
is how it
yeah,
goes.
It's tough.
it's tough. And my story was, the first one was when I saw the sold-out sign on Madison Square Garden, I thought, I've made it. And then your brain starts to creep in and go like, oh, that means we sold out. Oh, shit, that means this. And then you don't appreciate stuff. So then we went into the bowels of it, and next to our dressing room, the second time we played, had a picture of us on the wall, like next to Jay-Z, next to this guy, next to this person. I'm like, we fucking made it. Holy
right.
shit, I'm on the wall. Third time I go back in, the picture's gone. I was like, oh, yeah. It's like, dude, no matter what you do, three steps forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
You just got to keep rolling.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect way to put it, too, because it's like every time you feel like you made it, there's something that will humble you.
Yeah, someone's going to knock your knee out.
Yeah. Do you guys support Urban Meyer? Both Ohio State guys. Loaded question.
I think, yeah.
Careful. Careful.
Yeah, good point. But I really enjoyed the Urban
no,
years.
No, you don't have to actually answer that.
Ohio.
Yeah,
he's like the mayor of Columbus.
I'm sorry. That was mean of me. No, are you guys, the real question is, are you guys still like big Buckeye fans?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I live in Columbus.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's live, sleep, breathe Buckeyes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
great for the community. Everyone loves it.
Do you think he'll coach again? I mean, he does the fake, you know,
I think he'll coach
thing.
Again, yes.
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. Notre Dame or USC.
I'm sure he's got a... They'll pay him a ton of dough to go somewhere, and I'm sure he's got a couple circles.
Yeah, he's going
to
spend like 6 months pretending he likes doing the TV thing, and then be like, actually, I hate being a person. I want to just get back to being a coach. Yes. Where
he's gonna have to talk.
I don't have to have emotions besides anger.
I mean, you guys own Michigan now. I was at we were at the game this year. That was a fucking ass kick.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that rivalry because we play these events, you know, and you'd play around the stadium during that weekend, and at Ohio State, we're driving through our own crowd, and they're launching full beer cans at our bus, launching full beer cans at our entire stage. I'm getting hit with shit. I'm like, I go to school. You know, I went to school here. Like,
yeah,
we're
Buckeye,
on your side.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like the couches are on fire every 500 feet.
Ohio State goes hard. Mm-hmm.
They go hard, man.
Goes real hard.
I want to go back real quick. So when I first heard of you guys, I'm probably like a lot of kids out there, first heard of you guys when I got to college. So you guys were able to achieve a level of success without really much radio support, right?
Yeah,
How did that happen? Because I feel like most bands, if they're mega bands, they go the traditional way. You know, they come up on the radio.
Yeah, you know, I think we got pretty lucky with the file sharing. Napster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you label your songs like, hey, this is Crazy Game and Poker by Sublime and get a lot of people to download it?
We didn't label anything. Other people did. We had one out there called Gin and Juice that wasn't even us.
Right.
And we were labeled on it, and it spread like crazy. Our shit spread so fast, we just knew as a business-minded folks, like, we got to follow this up. And we created a system where we would go to the largest amount of downloads and we would fucking go there and put on shows.
Yeah.
And they were getting bigger and bigger. And it was every major college in America. Mm-hmm. So I think what it was just like, look, we're going to get in the bus and go. And that's the difference, I think. That's what really made it. It's like you could sit back and watch the success and all these things and be like, wow, this is really – but we just got in the bus and went.
What's the one venue you want to play that you haven't played yet?
That's a good question, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Roman Coliseum.
We played that twice. The first time we played there.
I assume we played Red Rocks.
We've done Red Rocks
13
times. That's been our number one. Alpine was great.
A tornado
came through Alpine when we were playing there with Dave Matthews' band and went
take
right
a helicopter
over the bus.
Out of Alpine Valley. Yeah.
Why would that happen?
That's the Stevie Ray Vaughan crash.
Oh, dude, thanks, bro. Yeah.
Learn your rock history.
Up. Yikes.
It's either that or the Buddy Holly one.
Yeah.
Don't bring that shit up, man. This is like...
Do you guys take a lot of helicopters? That was my next question.
I don't take any helicopters.
Okay. Private small planes?
Sometimes.
Interesting.
Once in a blue moon. Yeah. Once you got to get somewhere.
Careful.
Is there a difference playing in the altitude?
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah, Red Rocks, dude. We got oxygen tanks behind the stage.
You play your songs like a little bit faster because of the thinner?
No, because you get a little fucked up at Red Rocks, but if you listen to the tapes at the end of every single show, I'm like saying like, I mean, because you have one or two drinks and it goes a long way.
Yeah.
And we like to have a couple cocktails during the shows, so when you're at altitude, you don't realize that that's where it goes.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun.
Okay, so I had some like dumb questions that I've always wanted to ask a band.
Okay.
So you can just stop me if they're really dumb. Shitting on the tour bus.
Never.
Okay, good. Because we do buses every now and then. We have the same rule.
Never.
Okay, so it's good that you, I thought maybe you had like a nicer bus where
you can do it, but you still don't do it.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Real quick follow up to that. Now, have you never done it or did you learn that rule by necessity?
One of our crew guys did it once in the middle of the fucking Golden Gate Bridge, right? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, Nicky.
Yeah.
So Nicky had to go. Couldn't wait. Bagged it. Okay. We pull into the Warfield in San Francisco, which, if you haven't been there, it's really, like, where the alleyway is really rough.
Yeah.
I mean, just really rough in there. He gets off the bus. He puts the bag down on the street as he's getting his stuff. Guy comes up running, grabs the bag, takes off running down the street.
Stole his shit.
Literally stole his shit.
Crackheads.
Oh, my
God. Fucking, I was like, all right.
When you opened that bag, was not happy.
Rude awakening.
Not happy. Yeah. Hotels. Do you guys get, like, suites and stuff? How does that work?
So normally, say you get 20 rooms for you and the crew and everybody, they'll give you a couple, one or two suites. And earlier in our career, we didn't know that as a band because we were so young, but our tour manager knew that. And tours would go by, and I'm always like, why is my room the shittiest room?
He was
in this building,
suite.
And he was getting sweets.
What about
that's an old roadie?
Yeah.
Would you get like full floors of hotels?
Sometimes.
Ever like ride a dirt bike up and down it or anything?
Not yet.
Okay. I don't know. That's a good idea. I like that. Another good idea.
The Motley Crue movie, The Dirt?
No, but it was recommended to me, and I've heard it talked about a lot. I'm going to check it out. Machine Gun Kelly's in that, right?
Yeah, you probably should watch it because you probably feel like less of a man.
Or inspired.
Well, have you guys ever trashed a hotel room?
Heroin till you die?
Yeah. Have you guys ever trashed a hotel room? Just like your first tour, you're like, I guess this was what we did.
No, because we grew up, respect is all respect.
Okay, I respect that.
Anything, yeah.
But maybe for future interviews,
we trashed ourselves.
One or two stories.
There you go.
We trashed ourselves and that disrespected ourselves, but never a hotel room.
What about pre-show prayer? Any like pump up? What's it look like in the green room before you go on?
We huddle up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We take a moment.
Okay.
We huddle up. Usually, Mark leads it.
Okay.
And remember, you know, we're in a band. We're having, you know what I mean? We play songs, man.
Right.
Let's go.
Roadies involved in that huddle up or just
sometimes?
The band?
And roadies is a
derogatory
term. Guitar tech.
This is drum tech. Engineer.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. No, I'm just, this is educated.
No,
it's
2019, man. You
we
can
don't say the
R language.
Word anymore.
It's okay. Do it.
Sensitive.
Do it. Do it.
Do you guys, sound like the most chill band of all time.
Yeah, it's pretty chill. I mean, we like to keep things pretty level, you know, chill.
What do you do on the bus? Like video games, chill.
No video games anymore. A lot of hanging. A lot of fucking around. Just talking shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like this.
Yeah,
it's
done big bus trips. It gets kind of monotonous after a while.
Yeah.
Most of the time we're driving at night, so you finish the gig, you go out, you hang a little bit, you fall asleep, you wake up, you're there, you get off the bus, you go do stuff.
Okay.
Have you ever forgotten what city you're in while you're on the mic?
Yeah, Sioux City and Sioux Falls. I was like, hey, Sioux City, and. Fucking everybody was like, you're in Sioux Falls, dickhead.
Oh,
It stung a little. I was like, I don't know either.
It's pretty damn close.
Yeah, so like, y'all take it easy. But,
yeah, that's close
they
enough.
They were a little pissy about it.
Yeah, but honestly, after thousands of shows, you've only done that one time.
Yeah.
Do you have it like on your set list written down where you are?
No.
Just all upstairs.
It's just got to be the upstairs. I can't read shit. I'm up there. If you write something down, I'm going to look at it, and I'm not going to read it right, and everyone's going to tell. I can't have any notes.
Yeah, how do you remember all the words?
I don't. And we have a teleprompter once in a blue moon for like a cover song, and if I'm reading it, I'll just fuck up even more. So I make up words. A lot of our songs are made up words. I mean, half Crazy Game of Poker, our biggest song, I made up in the studio that day. So it's like...
I say, oh, what do you say?
That whole part.
I say, oh, you say, blah,
okay,
blah.
So yes. So that started with, I say of, you say, ah, hey. I say revolution, which our name is Of a Revolution.
Right, yep.
You say, ja. I lived in Israel. I was in high school. I'm in the Mediterranean. I'm like hanging out. I'm like, ja. And then I get home and I'm like, that's not really kind of the life I live, right? So, like, I had to keep saying it forever. And everyone else says, die. And I'm like, that's cool, too. So I honestly let them say whatever they want to say. I kind of am a little bit ambiguous about how I say it.
Yeah.
So no one really knows what I'm saying.
Well, now they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
I like that, though. That's also another very chill thing. You just like the audience is chilling with you while they sing along.
Yeah. And again, you can't, you know, I sing the lyrics to the songs, but they're interpreted differently night by night. If I'm feeling a certain way, I'll sing a different person's song, and then I'll sing a Marley song where it's supposed to be our song. It's just whatever. Look, you're like a master of ceremonies. You're like a pitcher in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep that shit going. You got a long game. It's it's not about each moment. It's, you know, it's a long game.
Your songs are like Wikipedia pages. They're just always are being edited.
Always being edited, and not always by me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The people can edit it as well.
You hear somebody else sing the song like a little bit different than you're like, I'm going to steal that guy's idea for my song.
We've had guys come out, like Talib Kweli came out one time and was rapping, and I picked up some things that he was doing. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll take that.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Yeah.
You know? So you learn.
All right, last dumb question about being in a band. Do you still get the butterflies, nervousness as you walk out? And maybe kind of explain what it feels like to be in front of a ton of people, because that's something that, you know, 99.9% of the world, PFT is in a band. So he knows what it feels like.
Yeah,
I performed a couple songs 100%. In his band.
I can just explain if you don't want
Mark
to answer.
Yeah. But like, what does that feel like? Do you still get it, or has it become a little jaded?
That's a great question, Jerry.
I get jittery for TV, or at least used to. Just having a camera in my face, I'm just not very comfortable with that. Being on stage doesn't bother me one bit.
Huh.
Never has.
Mm-mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm the same exact way. Stage is my. I feel like I'm in control of my whole life for those couple hours. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. TV can get a little weird. I mean, the first time we were on Conan or whatever, Letterman.
I was thinking about that yesterday when we were getting ready.
Holy shit. I remember right up until the point that they're like, and here's OAR. And I closed my eyes and I sang the whole song with my eyes closed and opened them up after. And that's like a huge no-no. Like a huge no-no. Mm. But I couldn't help it. I could not open. And I've never had stage fright. But right. TV's different, man. When you see Conan kind of staring at you like, and he's a player. He's a guitar player. Yeah. He's looking at you. You're like,
he's judging.
And there's an totally judging. Yeah. Like the camera getting in your face. You have to think at some point, like, there are a lot of people watching me perform this right now. And it's those are two very different things, I think, is to perform for a camera and to perform for an audience.
Cameras fuck it all up for me, man.
And PFT, you know, like when you're out there playing in front of thousands of people.
I've done some songs.
You can
too.
Only. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
it was actually. Yeah. It was 1,700, so not quite thousands.
That's solid. Yeah, but you only see the first three rows anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true.
True. that's a very good point.
That's a great point. What's on your rider?
Good question.
So we've pared it down over the years. I mean, right now it's got a little bit of whiskey and a little bit of water. And I say,
a shit ton of Angry Orchard fucking beer.
Oh, we got one. Yeah, one of our dudes loves the fucking Angry Orchard.
Ciders.
What about ciders? What about candy?
Yeah, we used to go. We went through the candy phase, but now I think we're phasing that out. And we're really trying to not have too many options.
That's probably smart long term for your health.
Because once you're up late and you got a good buzz on, I mean, it's going down.
Right.
Whatever's there. So ice cream is a problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ice cream.
Do you put the random thing on the rider to make sure they're paying attention? Like that whole story?
No, but I like that. That's a true story.
Well, who is that? Yeah,
Ozzie, a lot of people do write it in the middle
Van
there that says
Van
something.
Halen. Brown M&M's.
Brown M&M's.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. For us, our riders so pared down at this point. We just realized at one point you pay for that shit. We used to order cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's something I would have known.
So our rider, we used to be like, six packs of Marlboro Lights. Right. This years ago when everyone smoked and was like, this, and at the end of the day, we realized we're spending on a tour hundreds of thousands of dollars on this shit. So now we're just like literally water, whiskey,
Jewel
some
pops.
Chips.
Yeah.
I think
we missed, thankfully, we missed that whole fucking thing. Yeah. I'm like, I look at this shit like, what are you doing? But hey, whatever.
What about when you guys perform, do you elevate your music based on how the crowd is feeling that night? Because I always like to, if you go to a concert, be like, yo, we brought it and we brought it out of them.
1,000%.
Hell yes.
1,000%.
Fans control you.
One of my favorite parts of an OAR show is that we will take all this time, painstaking time, to write out a set list, and the third song in, it goes to hell.
Really?
I don't even think we've ever played a set list start to finish from what's been written down ahead of time. And so we call, you know, he calls audibles, he feels the vibe of what's going on in the crowd, and he'll either call it or, you know, look to his left or right, and I'll speak into the microphone, tell the boys what's going on next, what tune and stuff. But yeah, we're in the moment, reading the audience, seeing what's going on, and trying to deliver the best show we can.
Because we got like this internal mic system too, which is fun. Because if you're in a big vent, you know, so on stage, you these random microphones everywhere. And if you go up to one of them and you step on a button and you're talking to it, you're communicating with all the band guys, maybe some crew, maybe security, a few people here and there. So you could be like, yo, you check out the shit that's going on in the row 6, right. Seat 8, and someone's doing something over there. You know, so there's a lot of that going on during the show. Keeps it fun. We're always talking shit the whole time. It's great. Yeah.
What about if somebody in the audience yells a suggestion for what song to play next? You guys ever take that?
So I got a thing with that. My thing is, like, if you say it once and I hear you and I say something like, yeah, maybe we'll do that, or I just acknowledge it, like, don't fucking yell at every single song, because, like, I get you paid money for the ticket, and that's cool, but like when you yell it 12 times, then it's just frustrating. And that happens all the time. We have microphones everywhere. I hear everything that's going on out there. We have microphones lined up. We hear everything. You don't have to yell it a bunch. But the people who are doing it the right kind of way, I'm like, yeah, we'll do that. Because like they'll say it in a certain fun way. Like, my friend just turned 25. Can you do something like that? I'm definitely down. Okay. I'm definitely down. But it's like the drunkest dude in the room has got to yell for Freebird.
Yep.
50 times.
That's his job.
Yeah. That's his. He's Freebird yeller, dude.
Yeah. And if he wasn't there, like,
he might go on tour in a bus and do that every fucking
venue.
He probably
follows you guys around.
Yeah.
You
can
probably pick that guy off too. Like, the second you step on stage, that guy's going to request Freebird.
I've had people removed. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So listen, Mark heard you. Anyone who's listening to this, don't ask twice. Do you guys have rugs on the
Another What's good with question. That? God, I love this.
The rugs?
Interview.
Yeah, the rugs. Is it sound?
Some vibe.
Vibe. Okay.
Yeah.
Love
and,
that.
Yeah.
And I always assumed it was sound that I didn't understand.
It is sound. It soaks up sound.
Okay.
And stuff like
but
that.
But vibe is a better answer.
But, you know, you can have, you know, we've played on, you know, like a wooden stage. Sounds yep. great, too. It's a total different type of sound from the stage, but we take a carpet with us that you roll out right across the deck, and we put all our stuff on top of that.
Okay. You know, my favorite thing is every day when you see the crew vacuuming the rug. They roll it out and they vacuum it, and I don't know why that makes me I love it.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, we're about to
well, it's
yeah.
like washing know. Your hands. I heard that Tom Morello, before he plays guitar, he has a ritual that he does to be like, okay, now it's time to sit down and work on my craft. He washes his hands like very
Definitely.
Thoroughly. It's like
Definitely.
The same thing. If you go out there on a dirty carpet every night, you're going to start like taking shortcuts yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I bust Listerine like right before the show. I don't know why, but I like have to like have a whole thing. My hands... Take a leak, call home, Listerine. Like, it's like you're getting ready for bed.
You call home before every show?
Yeah.
That's too
Absolutely,
much.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I think that's too much. That is. I'm telling you. That's probably too much. The text works.
All right, I'll let her know. I'll let her know.
I've got a good question here. How many games of beer pong do you think have been won to your music?
Oh, ooh, great man, question.
That's a great question and a great video idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for like old classic footage of people.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know. That's a really good
We
question.
May be the goats of that.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Yes.
I can't think of a band. I mean, maybe Dave Matthews.
Maybe
yeah,
Dave
yeah,
Matthews.
Yeah.
Maybe yep. Sublime.
Yep.
Maybe. But
yep.
that's about
good company.
It.
Yeah,
you
good
guys
company.
Are like the Mount Rushmore beer pong.
I would say
songs.
Probably like, I would say 5 to 7 million.
Yeah.
Back of the napkin math.
I love
think
that. I'd
that.
Love to find out some sort of
statistic
stat
yeah.
on where, you know, where we land in the history of like beer. Related
ripped. Yeah,
bong
yeah.
we just stuff like people getting fucked up and having fun like
because
yeah. uh-huh. that's look we came into this thing we grew up in Maryland in Virginia Dave Matthews was popping off and we knew it we knew what was going on over there and we thought like they're doing that in Virginia we can do that in Maryland we used to go to their concerts as a group and get fucked up and have a great time with our friends and all that shit that ensues from there. And I said, I want to provide that. I want people to come to our shows and party and have fun. And if they want to take something serious from the lyric and stuff that comes from here, that's great.
Right.
And that's really what we're shooting for. But in the end, like, let's have fun. Yeah. So we always really wanted that. So the fact that we actually achieved that and bars closed down across America to the song Crazy Game of Poker, like in our time.
Mm-hmm.
That meant a lot to us.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like, okay, you know, it's not shallow. It's just like,
it's
look.
Cultural.
We want people to fucking let loose and have a great time.
Right.
That's
right.
it.
Right.
That's awesome.
All right. I had one last question. Speaking of songs, have you guys ever thought of just doing The General by Dispatch and just, like, stealing it from them?
I love that song.
Because, I mean, it
song.
Is. I mean, yeah, it's a great song.
That might proceed. Oh, hey, if we get that fight going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe that's what will kick it
so,
off.
Yes. So before we started taping, we were discussing Rough and Rowdy. The guys are big fans of Rough
yes.
and Rowdy. And we were thinking of a way to incorporate OAR into the next event and having them fight against Dispatch
for the
would
song.
Be amazing. So,
for if, the song.
But General and Crazy Game
But yes. it's, yeah, those are the stakes.
Yes.
I love that. And
right
Jerry,
to that
and, yeah,
song.
So it started because Jerry's a boxer, and we were when the Mighty album comes out tomorrow, we were talking about why the title and what promotions we could do. We said Rough and Rowdy's almost perfect to have band dudes beat the shit out of each
yes.
other. Because who doesn't want to see skinny band dudes pummel each other, and they all think they can fight, you know?
Yeah. Well, Youngstown, you can fight.
Yeah, he can fight.
You can fight.
He can fight.
Football
sure.
coaches, factories, fighters,
yep.
Youngstown.
Yep.
That's it.
That's right. Beef.
Birthplace
beef,
of grit.
Beef. A lot of
yeah.
beef.
Yeah.
I had one last question here. Who's the GOAT band
Ooh.
Of all time?
GOAT band?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Beatles or Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I would say, Ooh. Now, great debate. Writers, I would say Beatles because you can't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Band, like get up there and kick ass on a stage, it's Led Zeppelin. It's not even close.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you ever think it's like unfair because they got to it first?
No, it's
because
they're the greatest. Like,
yeah, but like they also had a lot more to work with.
Or a lot less. They really didn't have much. I mean, they had like
they had
instruments.
John fucking Bonham.
They invented
yeah, I know,
a
but
different
they had,
genre of music.
Right, because it hadn't been invented yet.
Right, which is pretty difficult
I mean,
to
I've
do.
Seen Sparks, like
right.
one night in Atlanta, you know, Foo Fighters is playing in a torrential fucking rainstorm, lightning flash. They don't give a shit, and they play, and
yeah.
they go hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's the greatest band in America tonight. You know, I see this happening over the course of the years, and I've seen amazing bands, but Zeppelin, I mean...
So have you ever been the greatest band in America in a single
We say
night?
This all the time.
Yeah, we do.
We played Boston last year, and we thought it was a perfect game. We pitched a perfect game.
That's awesome.
We walk off, and we're like, we're the best band in America. And then that's not because we think we're the best band in America. It's because you just feel like, I just pitched a really good game.
Yeah.
So you do feel that sometimes, but in reality... We're just fans of other bands. We could never even. It's like you don't say you're better than your favorite band. You love your favorite band.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's totally a different dynamic than sports. In sports, it's like you always have a winner, always have a loser.
Yeah.
In music, it's like, hey, anybody can be great on any given night. If you feel like you did a great job, you probably did.
There's a reason why we all love sports and athlete, professional athletes. I'm always drawn to hanging out and talking shit with them because I think the grind to get there is very similar. Mm-hmm. So, like for a hockey player, for instance, hockey to me is like the greatest sport of all time. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the greatest arena sport easily of all time. So, the grind to get there is so similar to what you got to do to get into a career mode band. You can't just show up and have 10,000 tickets sold. You got to go and play bumfuck Johnsonville 50,000 times. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I love sports because of the grind. I love rock and roll because of the grind. You know, I just like anything where someone earns it. I love that.
I knew you were going to say that.
I was killing Kevin last night. I saw those guys last night. I'm 20 questions on them about, do you realize what's happening here? What's bubbling here? Like, you all know, but you don't know because you're putting in, this is your 10,000 hours, right?
Right.
But it's been a decade.
Yeah.
It's not, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
You're just getting started. But, man, I'll tell you, I appreciate the grind. So, well, that's why we relate to, I love sports for that.
Okay, so let's finish with this. Browns record. I assume you're a Browns fan?
Yeah.
Browns record, 2019. We had David Njoku in here yesterday or 2 days ago.
He said 13 wins.
I was going to say 12 wins.
12 wins.
Yeah, 12 wins is going to be my number.
I feel like you're getting a little cocky. I feel like
everyone's
haven't
cocky
gotten
on the
12
Browns.
Wins in like 10 years combined.
Yeah. If we have, it's funny. We were like Browns.
No, you can say we. No. You can say we.
Thank you. Browns like celebrating in the streets this year.
Yes.
Like the real winner of the Super Bowl was the Browns this year.
Right.
Well, you had the free beer fridges too.
Yes.
That like goosed you guys a little bit too.
It's amazing. Yeah. So, and then to get Odell is just like, I looked at my phone. I'm like, that's not even real. What's going on?
Did you see the video of the kid who got the cops called on him because he was screaming so loud in the street?
I
believe it. For Odell.
It's
yeah.
No way.
Like the neighbor was like, there's something going on in the street. It's like, no, they just traded for Odell.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. And now all of a sudden they got a lineup. I don't know. We'll see what happens. 12's
a lot.
No, 12's a lot.
Todd wins.
Are you a Redskins fan?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to Redskins games. My earliest memory I know is Redskins Cowboys RFK Stadium. You know what I'm saying? So
the stands bouncing out there.
I was just going to say you could feel it moving. And that was the heyday. I loved it. But I've recently been to some games where I'm not. There's no feel. There's
FedEx
just no
has
feel.
No soul
there's no.
To it.
There's no soul.
Yeah.
Is that what you say? Yeah, no soul. And I hate to say, I went to a Ravens game where we played on the field. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Great ownership. Great. Everyone was cool as hell to us. I'm not dogging the Skins. I'm just saying, like, the ownership there is fucked. Yeah. So no one feels like a part of anything. You're going somewhere, spending all your money, and you're a million miles away from the field. I just don't know. So right now I'm a fan of football, and I'm desperately seeking.
That works.
I've also been to Minnesota, and the Vikings organization is great.
Yeah, nice stadium out
there. You know, Diggs went to Maryland, and also his brother went to my high school, so there's a lot of love for him and wanting him to do great things. And they were talking about bringing him to Washington for 5 seconds, but that's never going to happen.
Yes. Well, good news, I'm going to own the Redskins one day. So
great.
When
we
I
need
buy
you.
The team, come back.
We need you. I mean, there's a reason that guy has a wall around his house, you know what I mean? Because people just aren't...
Well, and he's rich. I'd build a wall around my house.
Yeah, I would totally.
I'd probably have a moat and like a cannon and
a
shit
moat,
like that. Yeah,
cameras everywhere.
A lazy river that doubles
on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
Fucking sick.
Drawbridge.
All right, so album out when?
March 29th.
Oh, March 29th. 10th album? 9th album.
He knows the stats.
Ninth studio album, yeah.
Ninth studio album. Damn.
And how many live albums have you guys done?
I think four on top of that in a like a compilation
greatest
kind of
hits
thing.
Type thing too. So 15 albums.
The live album, that's such a smart way to do things. It's like, hey, we're going to play a kick-ass show tonight, and then boom, that's also an album.
Yes. And we got so fucking lucky with that. We did live from Madison Square Garden, live from Red Rocks.
34th and 8th.
DC. New York, 34th and 8th. So we got lucky with the locations, the night, the everything, and it turned into like our first one. We were an independent label when we started. We became one of the biggest independent labels in the country. And it was because of a live album that we recorded in DC.
Right.
It went gold, and a live album going gold is not easy to do at all. So that put us on the map. So live albums, we basically owe so much to. Period.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people actually give a shit to buy a live album. I can't believe it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
This has
been a lot of fun. Answered a lot of questions I've always asked. The Rugs.
Great.
That
question
blew my mind. Vibe. That's a vibe.
Vibe.
Yeah. It's just a vibe.
Yep. Great questions,
that's
man.
That's fucking vibe.
I actually never knew why I would have a rug.
Yeah.
We'd bring a rug into the studio.
You were doing it for the vibe.
I wouldn't fucking know why I was rolling the rug
out.
I just seen like still shots of Incubus doing, and I'd be like, hey, I'm going to record an album too.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a PR 101 for Gronk.
Yelich just hit another home run, by the way. I don't know.
Fuck you, Christian Yelich. Fuck you. You are such a fuck.
This is what sucks so bad.
He's
is yesterday, fuck. He didn't hit a home run. I'm like, oh, Christian Yelich sucks now because he didn't hit a home run in one game. Christian Yelich.
I'm putting my microphone down for 1 second to tweet, oh, fuck you, Christian Yelich.
Okay, I'll cover for you because I used to like Christian Yelich. Like, I thought he did a good job when he was on Part of My Take. He was a nice guy. He was, you know, very fun to talk to, gave us good answers, had a very enlightening conversation, and I thought we were friends, and this is not how friends treat each other. He's basically saying that he wants you to get, like, pink eye, hepatitis, whatever else you can get from another man's butt. He's trying to kill you. That's how we should interpret this as Christian Yelich trying to kill Big Cat via my asshole.
And you, because you also have to do it, and also the crow's butt. So I added enough already to the tweet, but it was just, oh, fuck you, Christian Yelich, enough already. We are going to have Christian Yelich, I think, in studio next week, so we'll have to hash it out then.
Wait.
That's also when PFT, we're going to put some steroids into his drink.
Okay, good. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Did you say that I have to eat your butt too?
Yeah, we said we have to eat each other's asses, and you never put up you never said, like, nay, no, not me.
Sounds like I'm getting tossed in the jackpot.
My ass is getting tossed into the jackpot by you. Producer Hank?
It's true.
I said we'll eat each other's asses, and you didn't say, hey, wait a second.
It's not up to me.
Not going
to
eat Big Cat's ass.
It's not up to me. I'm just going based off your guys' words.
I said I would eat a crow's butthole.
No,
not a cat's.
We will eat each other's asses, and you never said anything. You never said, like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. It just kept on going. The conversation kept on going, so it was a verbal agreement. We will be eating each other's asses.
Dude,
all right, let's do some segments.
I said I would rim the shit out of a crow.
All right.
Not lick
PR 101 for Gronk. Gronk has a hilarious video, maybe the most Gronk video I've ever watched. He's holding the Lombardi Trophy before they go out onto the field at Fenway Park opening day, and Julian Edelman throws him a pitch, and everyone, the video is like, basically everyone's like, we never thought Gronk would actually take a swing. He bunts, tries to bunt the baseball with the Lombardi Trophy and puts a huge, huge dent into it and just laughs only like Gronk can laugh. Yeah. And honestly, now that I'm just saying this out loud, the PR 101 is do nothing because that's the most Gronk story of all time.
It is. That's actually how Gronk autographs things, is he just slightly damages them. That's right. It. Like, don't give a baby to Gronk to sign.
Right.
Because it ain't coming back right. I think that what the Patriots should have done is they just should have given him a fake Lombardi and been like, hey, Gronk, here's the real Lombardi. It's actually just chocolate covered in tinfoil that looks like the Lombardi Trophy. You can't give Gronk an actual expensive piece of jewelry or anything that's sparkly because he's either going to spike it or he's going to hit it against something.
Right, but Spin Zone, that piece of jewelry now is even more valuable because Gronk has a huge dent in it, and it's a hilarious story.
Yeah. Or tell you what, just drill a hole in the middle of it and give it to Gronk and say, hey, this is a straw. And then Gronk just gets to go around for the rest of his life drinking giant beers through the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah. All right. We're going to give this one another try. The first time we tried it, not so great. This time, I think it's going to be great. It's Real Men of Genius for Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Or you take the little parts.
Yeah, no, I do the, you do the talking in the middle. I start the singing.
Okay.
And then I copy your whatever you say.
Okay.
All right. You can tell we really planned this. All right. Real man of genius.
Today we salute you, Blake Griffin, Mr. Two Technical Foul Getters in playoff games that you're not even in.
Mr. Two Technical Fouls at your playoff games that you're not even in. Real man of genius.
No, you're not supposed to say that.
What? I can ad-lib. It's a fucking remix, dude. Old Town Road remix.
You're supposed to go like, those fouls were badass.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, real man of genius.
Today we salute you, Blake Griffin, Mr. Two Technical Fouls Getter in games you weren't even playing in the playoffs.
Those fouls were badass.
Blake, your knee feels good in the morning sometimes, but then it starts acting up at night, and you gotta sit out, but that doesn't shut your mouth.
Mister, you gotta sit out, but it doesn't shut your mouth, real man of genius.
Credit to you, Mr. Real Man of Genius, Blake Griffin, for finding a way to ensure you won't get dunked on by Giannis.
Oh, fuck. We need Blake Griffin in these playoffs. I wish he was playing. He would not let the Pistons lose the way they've been losing.
Correct.
No chance.
This would not be a skunk rule series if Blake was playing.
No. He basically carried the Pistons to the playoffs. It sucks that he can't play in the playoffs. Hopefully his knee gets better and he can get out there.
Third time's a charm for that segment.
We'll get it next time.
Also, Hank, make sure to add in the music because if you don't, it's going to sound even worse even than dumb. It actually was.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think any music can save that, but we'll give it a try. All right, wrapping up before we get to FAQs, we have Sabermetrics, ESPN. So PFT, what happened with ESPN's schedule prognosticators?
So they looked at the schedule for the 2019 NFL season and they made their picks for every single team. And it turns out the league is going to finish 64 games over 500 next year. Because every single team was projected to, like, if you're a bad team, basically, the basement for you was going to be 7-9. So every team finishes between 7-9 and like 14-2, with the exception the Miami Dolphins. Their beat writer, they were the only team where their beat writer picked them to finish with fewer wins than Las Vegas had at the over under. So I think Vegas it's like 5 or 5 and a half, something like that. And I think the Dolphins beat reporter said that they're going to win 4 games next year, which, as we addressed, he's not taking into account Fitzmagic.
Yeah. It's also just a classic move to just say every team's going to be a little bit better so that all the fans are like, ooh, look at them. The Browns were picked by 16-0 by Lewis Riddick.
Yeah. It's also a major way for all the beat writers to get their fans or to get the fans of the team to like them a little bit more. Because by the end of every single NFL season, the fans hate the beat writer unless your team finishes like first in the division with a bye in the playoffs. If you finish any worse than that, they're going to hate the beat writer and say, oh, you hate the team, you're biased, that sort of thing. So that it's a really good way to like start getting in those good graces a little bit. Also, I'm going to flag this. I'm going to flag this, okay? The fact that there was only one person that picked their team to finish with a worse record than Vegas, that means that we have to take the over for the Dolphins.
Yes.
That's standing out to me right now. Like, I don't know what it means. All I know is that the tallest nail gets the hammer, right?
Yep. Yep. You're absolutely right.
We got to fucking hammer that over on the Dolphins.
Circle gets the square.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Last up before we get to FAQs. We had a death in the NHL this past week. Here, I'll read the statement about the death. We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness. Everything you're feeling, we get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way. Oh, wait. Sorry, that's not a death. That was a Tampa Bay Lightning's tweet after they got swept in the first round. And maybe the most melodramatic, weirdest tweet of all time.
Sounds like a girl, like a guy that got caught cheating on his girlfriend.
It's insane. I don't know who wrote this. I don't know how many people looked at it. But it's laugh out loud funny that they thought, hey, here's what will make people happy, or at least make people less mad about a team that had a historic regular season then got swept and demolished in the first round of the playoffs, the 1-8 seed. Mm-hmm. Let's send out this tweet that makes it sound like someone died / you got in a high school breakup.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like something that a dude would write in an email to a girl that has already broken up with him.
Yeah. Like, hey, hear me out.
Yeah, hear me out. I just wanted to be really emotional in my response to your breakup and make it seem like maybe it was like just time for both of us.
I know you don't want this email from me, and I understand you probably won't read any of it, and it really makes no sense for me to send it, and you don't want to read it, and you're going to think I'm a psycho, but please hear me out.
Can I just say that although we are broken up, you are still the love of my life and always will be, and I like to think that you feel the same about me, even though you dumped me yesterday.
I'm rooting for you. Yeah. Wherever we land, I just hope you're happy.
Yeah.
But really, I'm just pissed. And Tampa Bay Lightning, little cease and desist, because that's actually LeBron's move to say we don't have any words and then type a bunch of words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point.
All right, let's finish up with FAQs. Hank, why don't you start?
Bubba.
Bubba, calling in the righty.
Are you guys able to switch from calling each other your real names to your Barstool names, or do you just use Big Cat and PFT all the time?
Our Barstool names. Do we have Barstool names?
We just say Big Cat and PFT all the time, and then sometimes I say Henry for Hank, and then PFT tries to say Henry, and Hank says, yo, that's creepy, don't say that.
Well, no, Big Cat, only recently, and like in a very condescending way, like I'll come into work and I'm like, oh, hello, Henry. And then the other day I came in and PFT like was like, hey, Henry. I was like, no. Like, no. We can't do this.
Yeah, because once you let me get away with it, Dan has probably like been around you long enough. Yeah, you hear that? Dan's been around you long enough where he probably called you Henry once or twice at the start of your relationship, but you can't let me cross that bridge because I will abuse it. I call Dan when I'm really disappointed in him.
Yeah, like right now.
Daniel.
Damn, Daniel.
Back at it again with the white shoes. What happened to that kid?
He died.
Oh, he died. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he was a Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Fuck.
Who's the most famous person in your cell phone?
Obama. Mm.
You have Obama's phone number?
I was told it was Obama's by this kid I met at a bar.
I used to say Jay Cutler for this, but he hasn't responded to any of my texts in like 6 months, so does that still count?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does. I don't
know. The thing is with these questions, that's a good question, except you probably know. Like, it's going to be Jared Goff or Blake Bortles or, like, Blake Griffin. Whoever we have on the show, that's probably the answer.
Right. Sean McVay.
Here, I got Big Cat's got one that's a little Grit Week teaser. Find out during Grit Week.
Oh.
Potentially.
Bruce Arians. Yeah.
True.
I'm just cycling through. Sean Payton. True. Why do I have all these coaches in here?
Oh, nice flex. Him. Oh, weird. Oh, I just have all these NFL coaches. I just wanted to say that.
Just got to purge them real quick. I got too many. They're clogging up my memory. That's why my phone is slow, my computer's slow, because all these texts I'm getting from main dudes.
All right, Bubba, next one.
All right, this will be the last one. If you could be best friends with one professional athlete at any time, who would it be?
That is a great question. I'm going to say...
Will change.
John Daly.
John Daly's a good call. I'm going to say Keith Hernandez in the 80s.
Mm. It's being his wingman. Right?
I feel like
you could look like his cousin too. Well, you could be like his little.
Yeah, but you can't pick like you wouldn't be able to pick a true alpha, right? Like you can't pick LeBron James or Michael Jordan or like any of these guys who like being their friend. You're probably just their yes man. Like right. I'm thinking of a guy who will be like, "Oh, we're best friends. Let's go do coke and go to Studio 54."
Right, Bubba. What was the exact phrasing?
If you could be best friends with one professional athlete at any time, who would it be?
Aaron Hernandez.
Ooh, that's weird.
Easy.
I mean, he'd have your back.
I mean, Gronk. Yeah. Gronk's got to be up there too.
Yeah, Gronk definitely has to be up there. But although he's got his brothers, so you never would be really in. But all right, let's wrap up. Do we want to do Game of Thrones theories? PFT, I got a couple theories I want to throw your way. Hank and I have been talking these out. All right, you ready?
Wait, PFT, do you want to start?
Why don't you?
Yeah, I have a theory. That dude that is friends with the younger girl that they apparently like go way back. They both seem like good characters. Who are they? The guy with the coat.
The Hound and Arya.
Who's the coat? Yeah, the Hound?
The Hound and Arya?
I think that...
Oh, no. Are you talking about...
The coat?
The coat?
The main good dude that wears a coat. Is that Jon Snow?
Jon Snow. Yeah.
Jon Snow and Arya? They're brother-sister. So they'll probably fuck.
Yeah, okay. Jon Snow and Arya.
They're actually cousins.
One of those two is going to kill the other one. Is going to have to kill the other one at the end.
Okay. That's a good theory, but after they fuck.
They're definitely fucking.
Yeah, I actually think this is one I just got on, and it's all I don't read this. I don't read Thrones theories and stuff because I want to have an uncorrupted brain. I think the Hound is actually the many faced god. He's gonna kill Arya and then rip his face off and be like, "Haha, got you, bitch."
Which one's the Hound?
It's the big one with the fucking burnt face.
Why do you think that?
Why do I think that? What did I say earlier?
Because Arya left him for dead.
Oh yeah, Arya left him for dead, and then he didn't die, but he did actually die, and then they took his face. The other one I had was that the end. Everyone says like, "Oh, who's gonna be on the throne?" What if it's just George R. Martin's wet dream, and he wakes up with cum in his pants?
That'd be amazing. Yeah, he'd be like, "That was an incredible dream."
And then my last theory is,
and his mom comes up and she's like, "George, we have to change your sheets again." And he lives at home the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on, George, we've been over this. You have to. We got you penthouse for a reason. Please. The last one I had was that it's actually just going to be a super neoliberal fantasy role play, and at the end, they're all going to decide that they should cross the bipartisan line and rule the realm together.
Oh, I like that. Like, we have more in common than we do different.
Yeah, and they're like, "Hey, if we just talk this out instead of fight, we could probably do this together.
Radical centrism will rule the realm." Yeah. I like that.
Yes.
And they're just going to be like, let's just forget about all the problems that we have and be polite.
Yeah, let me forget that you killed my dad. Let's just forget that and you killed my brother and all this shit.
Uh-huh.
Let's just all kind of get along and we could do this all together.
The rule of law supersedes the Game of Thrones.
Hank, do you have one to finish?
Mine are kind of modest. I was thinking more like next episode, what's going to happen.
Oh,
so,
whoops, my bad. I'm kind of went off script there.
That's all right.
It's fine.
So tell us next episode.
I'm just ready for a lot of flashbacks. And episode one was like a big mirror of season one, episode one. And in season six, episode two, it's like when Bran first goes into does the flashbacks. And the guy's like, if you go too deep, you stay too long, you'll get lost forever. So I think that's a little.
Lost.
I think that's some foreshadowing for this episode.
So
he's gonna go back, do some flashbacks, maybe get lost in the sauce.
So what Hank's saying is, we're gonna have to see Bran's fucking stupid white eyeballs a lot this episode.
What if Bran can actually walk and he's been faking it the whole time? He's been slow playing it, and he's actually secretly been doing like a shitload of squats in his room when everybody's gone. So he's actually jacked up from the waist down, and he comes and kicks everybody's ass.
Oh no! I was gonna say he comes and he jumps out of a pool. Boom, Kyler Murray no longer first pick in the draft.
Brent, yeah, I like that idea too. Just stay woke on that. I wouldn't put it past Game of Thrones as a person who's watched an episode and a 60-minute recap twice. I think that Bran could like consult with some sort of the magic people that they have and get magical use of his legs like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I like that. All right, that's our show.
Dan.
Monday, we taped it this morning. Ike Taylor from the Pittsburgh Steelers, two-time Super Bowl champion. I think I'm going to throw this out there. He is going to be up there for interview of the year because it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's going to come Monday. He came in the office. It was so much fun. And we'll see everyone. Have a good weekend. Good luck at Cannabis Cup. We'll see everyone rough and rowdy. Buy it Friday night. And Sunday, we'll see you.
Just came up with a great Halloween costume, by the way. Lieutenant Bran. And it's
nice.
It's Bran with like long hair and the jacket. Love you guys.
I like that.
Love you guys.
DA got that dope. Talking away. Though I don't know what I'm to say. I'd say it anyway. Today's another day to find you shying away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. Let your heart change. Needless to say, I'm all set in. But I need some little way. Slowly learning, but life is okay. Say up to me. Oh, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. In a day or two. All the things that you say, yeah, is in a life of just to play my worries away. You're all the things I've got to remember. And you're shining away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Say.